This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in the day. And now, let's join Bishop I.V. Hillier.
In Jesus' name, we thank you for this time together around your word. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus, that he's our high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And Lord, as we pray, we do lift up the Martin family and all those who are concerned, that you would comfort them underneath the skin as only you can, in Jesus' name. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our nation. And we thank you for peace in our nation, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, as we approach this word today, give us revelation knowledge. Spirit of God, manifest yourself as the teacher, causing complex to be made simple, in Jesus' name. It's our desire to know you more perfectly, that we may serve you more faithfully. And so in Jesus' name, Father, Holy Spirit, I step back, you step forward. Have your way is our prayer, tailored for every person, in Jesus' name. And the believer said, amen. Let's have us a smiling exercise. Look the person next to you. Smile real big. Show them your pearly whites. Do you know the name of the person you're seated next to? If not, take a moment and find out that person's name. Those of you who are watching by way of Impact Network, thank you so much. Of course, you know, we are still working on adjusting our time so that you can get more of our service. But until then, of course, all you have to do is go to newlight.org, of course, and you can catch the full message if you desire to do so. And then we just want to thank all of our Cyber Church members who watch faithfully every week. Thank you for participating. And of course, you know, what all that you do make this happen. We are on the verge of something great and grand, because I got to tell you what we're planning to do, and with the Max Life Show and the Max Life Women's. Everybody say Women's. Women's, Women's Network. Everybody say Women's Network. Women's. Yeah. We're getting ready to build the ITV Impact Women's Network, first of its kind. It'll start on ITV, but who knows where it can go? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Yes, ma'am. Nothing spiritual, cosmetic. She don't like the way my shirt fit when I move. See, I told her, I said, now when you wasn't here, I ain't had nobody bother my flow. So if y'all see me every now and then do this, y'all know it's because of her. I love that girl. Now, she messed with my flow. Did I do This Is My Bible? No. See, I didn't know what I've done now because I've been my flow. She messed my flow up. All right, let's raise our Bibles. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, Job 36 and 11 will serve as our foundational text today. We're in our ongoing series on taking responsibility for your success. All right, it says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. We started this series really on Father's Day when we began to introduce this whole concept of kingdom responsibility, and that the Bible teaches us that we are to be responsible. I call it responsible. I may be in a situation that I did not cause, but I am able to respond properly in that situation. Kingdom responsibility has several things that happens when I choose to take responsibility. What I'm saying is I will be in this situation an instrument of God to bring forth the will of God and to glorify God in the situation. That's what I'm saying. I'm a responsible person. I'm saying in this situation, I choose to become an instrument in the hand of God so that he can be glorified. Now, when I do that, three things happen. Everybody say, he's still reviewing. Number one, there is an empowerment that takes place. An empowerment takes place. He enables me to do some things I thought I was not able to do. Number two, an endearment takes place. Endearment, that is, others appreciate that I am being responsible. And then number three, what takes place is an endowment. In other words, I leave an example for future generations. So it's vitally important that I understand the whole power of responsibility. We said that nothing of significance happens or happens long term without somebody being responsible. So then we began to look at responsibility. I think Pastor Reynolds taught how to be responsible in a storm, in your storm. And then now we're dealing with how to be responsible for your success. First lesson was from Joshua, book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 8 there. We're going to look at Joshua again today. But in that we saw that God was telling Joshua that he would make his way prosperous and he would have good success. So we went back and to reestablish in our own thinking how it is the will of God for us to be successful or to do well, to prosper, to do well. Not always measured in dollars and cents, but it is the will of God. Now, a lot of people don't read the Bible. They go to church, but they don't read the Bible. And a lot of folks who don't go to church try to comment on the Bible. We're not responsible for them, but we are responsible to know for ourselves what the Word of God says. And so we went to the Word of God and we found out that my success is purpose driven. Everybody say purpose driven. Yeah, purpose driven. In other words, God has a purpose for my life. When I find that purpose and flow in that purpose, success is going to happen. We said it's also principle driven. All right, principle driven. We said it's pressure driven and then praise driven. Now we're looking at success now, taking responsibility for my success. And we're looking at it. Last week I started, and I thought I could preach the whole lesson then, only got a fourth of the way, a little more than a fourth of the way. First, I thought that the North was a slow class. I thought maybe y'all was a slow class. That's why I couldn't get that far. And then I found out that the East was even slower. Don't y'all tell them. I tell you that. They can watch it online. And then the South was about the same as the East. So I figured then I had too much information. So instead of trying to cover it all, I said, got to take my time, break it down, and cover each one as I can so that you get the full impact of this. It is important that we understand that there is a role that we have to play in the will of God coming to pass in our lives. Now, you here at New Light who've been here for any length of time, you know that because you've heard that, you've seen me prove it in the context of Scripture. But a lot of people don't know that. And they think just because the will of God is stated in the Scripture, it will automatically come to pass in their lives. And when it does not, they feel very frustrated. So I have to continue to say that and go over and over that, put people in remembrance of, put you in remembrance. And for many, it's new information because without understanding that, then you can become frustrated. Well, why isn't it happening for me? That's the way I was years ago. And I told you what happened was when I saw in Joshua 1 and 8 that God says I had a responsibility to do something, then, of course, I began to do it. Now, Job 36 and 11 is quite simple. You don't have to go through any great lengths of theological study. He says, if you obey and serve me, I'll let you spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Now, last week, we said that it's the Father's order. Everybody say the Father's. It's the Father. It's our God's. When we become in covenant with, when we get in covenant with God, make him our Lord and Savior, and he becomes our Father through the new birth, then we see all throughout the Scripture, he's saying, this is what I have for my children. I want my children to be blessed. I want my children to live in health. I want my children to be prosperous. I want them to enjoy life. We found a Scripture, I know that probably blew a whole lot of people away, where it says, I give you richly all things to enjoy. Man, they never told me that when I was growing up in church. I didn't know God wanted me to enjoy life. They told me to wait after a while, by and by, over yonder. What I can see in Scripture, he says, he gives us richly all things to enjoy. And that was after Paul was talking to Timothy. He says, now, you tell the folk in the church who are well off and who are rich in this world, don't be high-minded, don't be arrogant. Trust the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, the next point that we got to last week, got to more here than anywhere else, and that is success is the fruit of obedience. Everybody say the fruit of obedience. It's the fruit of obedience. In other words, when I obey God, he positions me both naturally and spiritually so he can bless me. Everybody say both naturally and spiritually so he can bless me. All right. Now, throughout the word of God, we can see that God expects us to obey him with our whole heart. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. But he wants you to obey him with your whole heart. And obedience is important. And I thought, you don't think you have to really stress it, but you still have to talk about it, because many people think it's okay to postpone obedience to some time in the future. But when you do that, you postpone the benefits of obedience as well. All right? And obeying God in the small things, you know, is really, you know, not hard. But when it comes to those difficult things, that's where you really need ministry on. Go with me your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. I'll read it again for us just so we can have it fresh in our minds. But when I choose to obey, that means I accept God. My acceptance from God must be a priority in my life. It is difficult for me to obey God if I need acceptance from anybody else. It's difficult for me to obey God if I have a need for acceptance from anybody else. Number two, when I choose to obey God, I must take bold actions of obedience without full understanding. That God does not always explain the end from the end of a thing from the beginning. He knows it, but he doesn't always tell me. So if I'm going to obey God consistently, then what I must do is I must choose to take bold actions of obedience, a step at a time, not knowing but trusting. Everybody say not knowing but trusting. All right. On the path of obedience, I must address every contrary thought, an argument, an excuse to disobey. That when I'm obeying God, I'm going to obey God in whatever area, forgiveness, giving, serving, whatever it is. Then there will come time. The devil, he doesn't play fair. So he'll come with thoughts that will try to talk me out of obeying God. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're getting ready to write your tithe check. Come on now, let's just be real, you understand? Yeah, he tries to talk you out of obeying. When you want to live right and live holy, you understand? And you get that call. Hello? Boy, I tell you. Yeah, the devil tried to talk you. So you got to be willing to address every contrary argument and excuse for disobedience. Number four, you must appropriate the grace to obey under pressure. Appropriate, because he'll give you strength to obey even when the pressure's on. And then number five, you got to be willing to go again. Everybody say go again. Go again into places and situations where you have once failed and expect to succeed. Those are some of the nuances of obeying God. Now, those are things they have to do. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be what? Willing and what else? Obedient. What's going to happen? Eat the good of the land. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Just looking through the Bible, God fully expects us to obey him. All right? He fully expects us to obey his covenants. In other words, we have the word of God here. We have principles. He expects us to obey that. Obey them. All throughout the Bible, we can see it. So today, we just want to take our time and look at some scriptures God wants us to obey. Everybody say, God wants us to obey him. Yes, and I'm telling you, when God asks us to obey him, it's never to rob us of joy or to restrict our joy, but it is to protect us from the consequences of disobedience. Everybody say, protect us. Yeah, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. God's not trying to steal your joy and steal your fun. Almost kind of like, especially if you're a person who's a parent, you know, many times you tell your children, don't do this, don't do that. They don't understand you trying to protect them. Amen. They think you just don't want me to have no fun. So God's not doing that. He's whenever he asks me to do something, even if it looks like it's restricting me, it is because he is providing my protection. Amen. All right, verse 14 says, if you will fear the Lord. Now, when you see the word fear, it's not talking about be scared, afraid, but it's talking about reverence. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reign over you continue following the Lord. So here again, we have another scripture that talks about obedience and service. If I say obedience and service. Now go to Acts chapter 5, because I think this is very, very important. God expects us to live in obedience to his word, because in so doing, he can protect us, he can provide for us, and he can prosper us in life. He can protect us, he can provide for us, he can position us. Everybody say position us. Now, I was on Max Life Show this week, and I told this story about how years ago when we had a bus ministry, and I was riding past this bank, didn't have an account there, didn't know anybody there, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, go in this bank and ask for the president. Now, I'm amazed. You know, a lot of people say, he say God talked to him. I can't have God don't talk to you. I can't help that. You know, and even some pastors, he say God speaks to him. Well, you can go into ministry one of several ways. You can go to school and go into ministry. You follow me? And just take it on like any profession. All right? Or you can be called into the ministry. I'm called into it. I'm doing this because I'm on assignment from God. So he tells me stuff to do. Now, I know there's some folk that spook it. Well, I can't help that. I know what I know. So God tells me to go in this bank. I don't have any relationships or anything. And I obey. So I go in the bank and I ask for the present, just like the Holy Spirit told me. I argued at first a little bit because I'm not even dressed right. You know, normally back in those days, you put on shirt and tie and that sort of thing. You know, and I have on shirt and tie, just very casual. He said, go in. I go in there. Okay. And when I go in there, I ask for the present. I say, the president's not here. All right. So I know the Holy Spirit said, just go ask for the president. So they said, this other guy is taking all of his appointments. Would you like to see him? So I said, I'm here. Why not? So I sit down in front of this guy. Don't know him. I'm just obeying God. And I tell him, listen, our church is we have a bus ministry, and we need to purchase a bus. The guy's eyes light up. I mean, he just lights up. And he says, I think that's great. He said, I'm the bus ministry captain at my church. Isn't that amazing? See, obedience positioned me. Obedience positioned me. Now, I had one guy tell me, he says, you don't have any current testimonies? No, seriously. I have a lot of current testimonies, but y'all couldn't handle them. No, serious. I got testimonies that would just blow you away because, you know, they in the million-dollar range. You see, you'd be jealous. You get jealous, you get all mad, bent out of shape. So I can't tell you those. No, I'm still being blessed at all. You know, but I can't tell them. I can't. I can't tell some of them. You got it? You know, I mean, I can't. Y'all ain't getting nothing. Y'all trying to pull them out of it. Hey, baby. Good. Y'all trying to pull them out of it. No, y'all ain't getting nothing. No. Yeah. All right. Now watch this. Are you in Acts? Everybody say obeying God positions me. See, that's the key. The thing that God wants to position you so that he can pour his blessing. Now, verse 29 says, then Peter and the other, I'm in Acts 5:29. What did I tell y'all? I didn't tell y'all? How many said I say Acts 5? Okay, so that means the rest of y'all weren't paying attention. Acts 5:29, watch this. And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. There come times in your life when you have to make the choice that you're going to obey God, regardless of people say, or what people say. And I say it like this. Once I hear from God, I counsel with man no more. Amen. 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 And, you know, a lot of time pastors call me and they ask me questions. And so I ask them, what did God say? And they always get quiet. I said, well, the reason you're quiet is because God hadn't said anything. Because, see, once you hear from God, you counsel with man no more. See, what keeps the supernatural stirred in our church is just that one thing. And that is, see, our church built on the supernatural. Now, you know, I'm a teacher and a very academic, theologically accurate, but I don't sacrifice the supernatural because of that. To me, that opens me up more, because the more I know about the power of God, the greater revelation I get on how to tap into that power, the more expectation I have for the supernatural. And I believe for miracles. No, I've seen them. I believe them. I know what God can do because I got his word. Now, what's happening in the body of Christ, we are sacrificing the supernatural on the altar of academics. We're so smart that nobody's willing just to trust God radically. And you see those in the Bible who got those supernatural moves, they had to be radical. Amen. Amen. See, here's a radical move. I'm going to walk up in a bank, don't have an account, don't have no money there. All I know, I have heard from God. I sit down with the man I don't know and tell him, listen, our church needs a bus. Radical. Everybody say radical. Another radical thing. And then, of course, God moves supernatural. We got two buses. Now I got to tell a story, huh? How many of y'all remember my story on the buses? Okay, how many don't remember? How many don't care? No, don't. I go out. I can give you a short version. I go out and get a bus, and I'm getting ready to sign the papers on the bus. And the Lord says, "That's not the bus." I'm sitting in the guy's office. He's already got the loan papers and already, and I'm getting ready to sign. And I think I didn't have to have any money down. I'm getting ready to sign, and the Lord says, "This is not the bus." So I dropped the pen, looked at the guy, said, "Listen, I'm not flaky or anything like that, but listen, I just got a witness from the Spirit of God. This is not the bus." He said, "Okay, no problem, Pastor, no problem. You know, go pray about it. And when you got a piece, come back. You know, if they hold the bus, you know, I'll keep the deal." I go walk in my office. At church, the phone rings. It's a guy from Buda, Texas. Everybody say, "Where?" Yeah, Buda. I didn't even know there'd be any Buda, Texas. Buda, Texas, outside of Austin. And this guy I had met some months before, and he calls me, says, "Pastor Hill, you're still looking for a bus?" I said, "Yes, I am." And so he says, "Listen, I got a deal you can't turn down. If you buy one bus, I'll give you another one." "You will?" So I said, I said, "Where is Buda?" He says, "Buda's right outside of Austin, Texas." I said, "Listen, I'll jump on a plane, pick me up at the airport, let me see the buses." So I go down there, and sure enough, he's got this beautiful bus, bigger than the one I was about to buy, for less money, and I'm going to be able to, and he's going to paint it for me, put our church name on it, and he's going to give me another one. Amen. I pick up the phone and call the banker and says, "You won't believe this." He says, "What?" I said, "I'm in Buda." "Buda who?" I said, "I'm in Buda, Texas. And I'm at this bus place, and here's the deal." I told the guy about the deal. He says, "Put him on there. I'll give him, what you call those instructions? Drafting instructions? Yeah, I'll give him drafting instructions. Close the deal." Radical. I obeyed God. What I'm trying to get you to see is, thank God for our sophistication. But there comes a time when we got to trust God outside of the norm. I'm going to preach over here because y'all won't say amen. I'm telling you, there comes a time when you got to trust God outside of the norm, the supernatural. I don't want you to just be a church with a lot of head knowledge and no heart for the supernatural. Because there comes a time in your life when head knowledge and all that man know causes you to come to a dead-end street. But thank God when you believe in the supernatural. Even though you're at a dead end street with man, you got hope for the future because there is one above all others. Ooh. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So God, go to James chapter 1. God expects us to obey his covenants, and he expects us to obey them, we said, to the T. That is, you know, if he says do it a certain way, do it a certain way. If he says, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about a vision. God told me to do things a certain way. I got to do it that way. I'm not going to get in trouble with God trying to please you. Amen. Amen. Everybody say both Old Testament and New Testament shows that pleasing God is important. All right, verse 25 says, whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Everybody say, shall be blessed. Now, over in the Amplified, it talks about him living a life of obedience. So it's important for us to obey God. I want to make that because my prosperity is the fruit of obedience. So don't get fooled to think you're going to disobey God and have God's best. Don't think, there's enough grace to cover my disobedience. There is enough grace to cover your disobedience in that God's relationship with you will stay intact. But you will miss the benefits of obedience. That's like a person says, I'm not going to tithe, but I'm going to get to tithe this blessing. You warped in your thinking if that's the way it is. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Now, he expects us to obey his callings, what he tells us to do. And he expects us to obey with courage. Everybody say, with courage. Yeah, because there are some things that God tells us to do requires that outside of the box courage. Yeah. Outside of the box courage. Now, Joshua chapter 1, let's go back to the, go there. Joshua chapter 1, and let's look at verse 7, because there in verse 7, he talks about being courageous. And let's talk about courage a little bit, because many times to obey him requires some courage, trusting him beyond what you can see at the present moment. All right? I'll start at verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. There it is. He talks about courage again. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which my servant Moses commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So see how clear it is in the Bible that many times to obey God, it requires me to be courageous. Everybody say courageous. All right, now, courage in the present makes a difference in your future. I thought I'd get a better amen. That's one you could tweet right there. Courage produces the resolve to succeed in the face of the odds. Oh, and everybody say in the face of the odds. You know, I got another testimony. When building this building, I could not see how we were going to finish this building on time. In the natural, the week before we were supposed to come in this building, and God said, I want you to dedicate it without a mortgage. Thank God we owe no man nothing on this one. Bigger hand clap than that. You don't understand. Ooh, yeah. Thank God we owe no man nothing on this. And of course, we have a lot of other properties that are not, impaired and that sort of thing. But thank God. But anyway, I couldn't see in the natural how we were going to finish this. Now, I know what God told me. I'm holding on to it. But when I'm walking in here that Sunday before, in the natural, it just don't look possible. We had no ceiling in here. And we already know that was at least a 2 or 3 week job. I know that naturally. I know that. Amen. God, it ain't like I know that. I know how long it takes. And I know that once that's done, then you got another couple of weeks to get the air conditioning vents in. Things in. I already know that. Yet God is not budging. He says, this is the day you're going to open it up. God, you're talking about, it took courage to stand up over there and say, all right, next week we're going to dedicate it. See, courage causes you not to be embarrassed or intimidated when you make a stand. Somebody needed that. Amen. So you got to have the courage and boldness to declare it, even in the face of I don't know how. And how God brought this whole thing together. I watched him do it. I watched, no, an angel didn't come in here at night and then we will open the door and say, oh my God, look at what God has done. No, that's not how he did it. He did it through an accelerated way beyond my thoughts. Because that Monday, Larry Roberson, he fired the ceiling people. He ran them off. I got 3 weeks of work. And he runs them off. And when he runs them off, he tells me, calls me, said, Pastor, I just fired the ceiling guy. Larry, why you do that? Because he's around here talking that we're not going to finish. Amen. And I couldn't have negative on the job site. I mean, y'all clapping, but I'm all upset. I'm going, well, what you gonna do? I'm gonna do what you taught me. I'm trusting God. Amen. Then the word gets out that we need ceiling people. So guys who want a moonlight and want to make extra money all start showing up. So instead of having one crew, we got three crews working around the clock. That's the 3 weeks' work. Amen. In the face of not knowing, I'm talking to somebody in here today. In the face of not knowing, don't you back off of your faith. Woo, somebody got that down on the inside. I felt that. That went boom down on the inside. That went down on the inside. In the face of not knowing, don't you dare back off of your faith. Don't back off of your confession. God knows what he's getting ready to do. Ooh. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Little person that said, I needed that. Tell them I needed that. I needed that. Woo. Courage writes the check that faith will cash. Amen. Courage calls the devil's bluff and puts heaven on notice that you need a miracle. Amen, amen. All right, let me move on. Ooh. Ooh. How many's faith went to another level today? All right, now watch this. Everybody say, if you obey and serve him. Now let's talk about the serving part now, and we're using this as a point to talk about service. Kingdom success is a faithfulness overflow. Everybody say faithfulness overflow. Faithfulness. Now I could have said service overflow, but I wanted to use all these F's. You know, the Father's order, the fruit of obedience, and now we're dealing with the faithfulness overflow. In other words, the overflow of my faithfulness in serving God causes success to happen in my life. All right, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye, come on, first, what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things will be added unto me. See, what many believers have missed out, they've missed out on the benefits of serving God faithfully. No. See, because if you really understood that, for every kingdom investment, not talking about money, but for every kingdom investment of service, God makes a promise he's going to do something in your life. Okay, I got a few hand claps, so it must mean I got to work on this one. All right. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Again, it is a promise that accrues benefits that you must access by faith. Oh, my God. I get to CD myself on this one. God sent me to download. This is going to bless me this week. Watch it. No. See, if you understood this, see, as a lot of you have never volunteered. I mean, this is your church and you love your church. You just come to get the word. Because Bishop, you know, Bishop can teach that word. You know, there is no greater teacher than Bishop. He's going to teach that word to you. But I can't get you to pick up a piece of paper and really, you know, church is really at your convenience. And I'm trying to tell you, you're leaving a lot on the table that way. When there are promises that he makes for our faithful service to him. All right, now watch it. Here's the principle of faithfulness in verse 23. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Watch this. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So here's the principle of faithfulness, that if I can be faithful over a few, he says, now I'm going to promote you where you'll be ruler over many, And watch this. And joy comes along with it. Everybody say joy comes along with it. All right. Deuteronomy 10. You got to see this. Deuteronomy 10. And let's look at verse 12. Because it requires something of you to become a servant, to serve the Lord. Everybody say serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. See, if it was an automatic thing, he wouldn't have to put in Job 36:11 if they obey and serve him. So obviously there's some effort that I have to put forth in the service area. Because it's not an automatic thing. But when I put the effort forth, then he says, I'm going to respond. How are you going to respond, God? I'm going to let you spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Amen. All right. How many more days of prosperity? Amen. Years in pleasure. All right, now what he says now, he says, you got to do more than come here and sit on the bench. But we don't have benches, we have chairs. You got to do more than that. He says, I got to get you to do more than that. And when you do, he says, I'm going to respond with you, to you, and to your faithfulness in a way where promotion takes place. Yeah, amen, amen. All right, what did I tell you to go? Deuteronomy chapter? What did I tell you? Verse what? 12. All right. It says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? To fear the Lord, that's to worship him, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. He says, God requires this. This is what he's requiring. He requires it. Now, I thank God. You know, I talk about the church culture I grew up in, but I thank God for that church culture in many ways. Because, see, we were trained as children to work in church. That's right. Come on, got to get some amens out of that? Amen. Come on now. They may not taught us all the word, but they taught us to serve. Got it? Because, see, I used to be on the junior usher boat. Hold that for me. Receive, pass. I'm telling you, we were taught that, you understand? And we were trained in that, and not knowing the benefit. They never told us the benefit. You just, you know, back then you did it because your mama made you. Got it? And then, of course, we had a lot of fun with our friends doing it because, you know, we always, we could sneak, we try to see who could sneak and eat candy while they were serving and nobody would catch them. I mean, you know, we're kids, we're in church, we're having fun, you understand? I thought you was a boy preacher. I was, but I was doing what everybody else was doing too. Okay, watch. Everybody say, gotta serve God, gotta serve God. Now, here's the thing. In a church like this, there are so many opportunities to serve. No. With a church like this, there you can't say, well, I can't find nothing to do. You're not looking. Because you don't have to look far and hard to find something to do. See, I say, do this. Decide, for one whole year, I'm going to get involved in serving God somewhere in this church. I'm going to do something to serve somewhere in the church. Now, it may be, you know, we got the phone ministries. You got it? We got after hour stuff. We got a whole lot of things you can do. But decide you're going to do something because when you do, you position yourself. Everybody say position yourself. Yeah, you position yourself for God to bless you because he will never let you do anything for which he will not give you a return. Now, faithfulness, when you're faithful, you must be willing to sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Let's go above and beyond your initial expectation. You must be willing to submit. In other words, there's an order for doing it. So I'm going to do it according to that order. You must be willing to be steadfast. Be a person we can count on. Don't say you're going to be here and then not be here. Amen? And then you must be willing many times to stand alone. In other words, if that's what God says, that's what I'm going to do. All right? Everybody say faithfulness. Because faithfulness pays off. Now, I'm going to have to wrap it up here because I see them out of my time. And, you know, they got upset with me last week because I got out of my time and I just kind of stayed with it, you understand? Then I did the second service and so on and so on. And so I figured out that, you know. And so since Bridget here, she polices me. See, when she was down there in Beaumont at her own church, she had her own business. You follow me? But now she's here around and about, so she's trying to be mother police and everything. Keep me on schedule. But that's all right. No problem. I'm about ready to wrap up with this right now because I think we've gone far enough anyway in this. But now the key to service is the heart. Yes. The key to service is not the head. It's the heart. Because you got to love doing this. It's a God factor because I'm going to get a God reward. It's a goodness factor because I feel good when I serve, when I'm helping others. You know, this is one of the joyous times of my life every Sunday when I preach. I get up on Sunday morning excited. This is work for me, but I enjoy it. I'm looking at you, how you're receiving the word of God. This is good. Everybody say good. Yeah. But not only is it good, but watch this. See, if I get going on this, I'm gonna go further. I'm gonna stop. Now, so it's a good thing because I do it from the heart. Everybody say from the heart. I'll close with a story, and then we'll be able to wrap it up because that's why God wants your heart. No, that's why He wants your heart. He don't want you to do it out of duty, but it's a gratitude. That's the word I was gonna use before, gratitude. So I'm so thankful what God's done in my life. I just could not be where I am and not try to help somebody else. I'm so glad I got the word that I understood. Somebody explained the Bible to me, faith to me, so I know how to navigate life. I want to do the same for others. It's my gratitude. Do you understand? But it all comes from the heart. If it doesn't come from the heart, you can't handle some of the ups and downs. So the story is told of a lady who had arthritis very, very bad. And, she had crippling arthritis, yet she would make her way to the church. But going to get into her church was not an easy task because there were these tall steps that she had to climb. And she would get there and painstakingly climb step after step after step. And she would be in every service. Long aisles she had to walk down, but she would be there all the time. So one day, a young man walked up to her and said, one young lady walked up to her and said, how do you do this? She said, you know, you hear all the time, and I watch how painful it is for you to walk up. She says, well, see, first, my heart walks up the steps, and then my legs follow. Amen. See, that's the way it is in following God. The heart first. And then the body follows. Today, there are many of you who are here. God wants your heart. Because He knows if He gets your heart, He'll get your life. And a lot of things that you think are difficult to do, you'll be amazed how easy they will be to do. Because your heart goes first, and then your body follows. That's the way it is in salvation. In salvation, what do? We first give Him our heart. Not knowing how we're going to live this life. But once we give Him our hearts, we are amazed because of this grace that kicks in. And He strengthens us. And we're able to do things we didn't think we could do. Amen. Everybody say, it's the heart first. And then the body follows. We have several appeals that we're going to make today. I want every head bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Appeal number one, I want you to give Him your heart. Nobody's walking, nobody's moving. If you're part of the staff, of course you can get to your place. But please, let's give the respect at this time. Appeal number one has to do with being born again. Pastor, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. I'm not right with God, but I want to be right with God. What must I do? I want to pray for you right where you are, but I want to know who I'm praying for. I want you to make a bold step, a courageous step of giving your heart to the Lord today. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed by the uplifted hand, I will see your hand, but more importantly, God will see your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just want to pray for you right where you're seated, but I want to know who I'm praying for. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you say, Pastor, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pastor, I want Jesus in my life. I want to turn my life over to Him. And while you're praying for others, Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up quickly all over the building? I want to pray for you right where you're seated. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything like that. I just want to know who I'm praying for. I will see your hand, but more importantly, God sees it. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand here. There's another hand here. Thank you. There's another hand. Anybody else? Remember, there's another hand there. Remember, I talked about radical boldness. Yes, it's a bold thing to lift it. There's another hand. Thank you, young man. Anybody else? Pastor, include me in the prayer. Not a Christian, but I want to be. Not right with God, but I want to be right with God. Don't know if I die to go to heaven, but I want to know for sure. And as you're praying for others, Pastor, pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Another hand here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Quickly, quickly, quickly. Let me see that hand. Let me see it. I'll see it, but more importantly, heaven sees it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. All right. That's another hand in the back. We're in the back. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. You may put your hands down. Second appeal has to do with rededication. Maybe you're already born again, but you kind of strayed away, got busy, distracted, and you said, I need to get back on track with God. And I want to get my heart. If my heart comes back first, I know everything else will follow. So you say, yes, Pastor, that's me. I just need to rededicate. I need my fire back. I need my zeal back, my joy back for the things of God. And as you're praying for others, Pastor, include me in the prayer. Would you slip your hand up very quickly all over the building? Who's going to rededicate today? Yes, I see your hand. See your hand. See your hand. Who's going to read that? That's it. I see your hand. I know you've already done it privately many times, and that's why you've come to church today. But when you do it publicly, it will strengthen that resolve. Anybody else? Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I'm already saved. I just need to get back on track with God. This is a good day to do so. Good day. Yes. All right. All right. You may put your hands down. Third appeal is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I talked about the supernatural, but He is the author of the supernatural in our generation, our dispensation. You said, Pastor, I need the power of God in my life. Well, you may be like I was. I grew up and nobody told me about it. But then when I became an adult, already a pastor, they told me about getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I would do so, God would empower my life. And then I would be able to pray in a different way and my life would change. They told me that and I accepted it. I asked God to fill me with His Spirit. He did. Change my life, change my ministry, change me all over the building. You don't have to join our church. He said, Pastor, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want everything God says I need to live a victorious, overcoming life. As you're praying for others, Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Pastor, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need God's power in my life. I mean, it's after salvation. And many of you are already saved. Now,